Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme this week, we'll be speaking to Marta Stokłosa from Katowice in Poland about the recent celebrations and marches commemorating Polish Independence Day. We'll have an excerpt from the recent press conference by High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and Vice President of the European Commission, Federica Mogherini. We'll have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. And we'll have some new music from Poland as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. Ireland has one of the lowest rates of participation in adult education. New figures from the EU Education and Training Monitor show that only 6.9% of Irish adults are going back to the books to learn new skills. Croatia has the lowest rate in the EU with only 2.8% of adults returning to education. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says skill shortages in economies are determining the numbers returning to study.
Today's figures show that just 6.9% of Irish adults are in education and training, compared to 15.7% in the UK and top of the class 31.3% in Denmark. As certain sectors of the economy have skill shortages, like ICT, this is probably something that Ireland needs to improve over time.
The Ludgate IT Hub in Skibbereen, County Cork, has been selected as one of 16 finalists for the European Broadband Awards. Details of the five successful IT centres for 2016 across all of Europe will be announced in Brussels this week. The ongoing Ludgate project will provide 1 gigabyte of connectivity to 1,800 premises in the town when complete. Ruth Deasy of the European Commission says Skibbereen is a leading model for rural broadband rollout in Ireland.
This is important because it shows that what Skibbereen have done in the Ludgate Hub is one of the best projects of its kind in Europe. It has come through a selection process. It's one of 16 finalists. If it becomes the award winner, they will be a best practice example for all rural communities.
County Laois student Anna Delaney has finished runner-up in this year's All-Ireland EU Soapbox Debating Competition. 18-year-old Anna, who represented Mount Rath Community School, won second prize in the under-19 section at the event in the National Concert Hall in Dublin recently. She competed having won the Midlands Europe Direct Debating event in Mount Mellick. Anna Delaney argued that the European Union is not united in diversity.
The topic was EU unity and diversity, and I opposed that motion. Basically, I was saying things about refugees, how they're being mistreated in Europe, how, say, tensions between the north and south of Ireland are still very much prominent, and how I experience it myself and how Europe in general are experiencing a very much lack of unity and diversity.
Dundalk student Aoife McKeough has won the All-Ireland EU Soapbox Debating Competition. 16-year-old Aoife, who represented St. Vincent's Secondary School, won top prize in the under-19 section at the event in the National Concert Hall recently. She was presented with a prize of €1,000 and will travel to Brussels to attend a sitting of the European Parliament. Aoife McKeough argued that the fallout from Brexit will make the EU less diverse.
Because of the Brexit situation, Irish teenagers like myself won't have as many opportunities as we may have had 5 years ago or even this year. And I took, for example, the French police's harassment of a Muslim woman wearing a burkini in Nice, that you can't possibly say that the European Union is united in diversity when there are so many blatant examples of discrimination within the European Union.
Galway teacher Siobhan Fitzgerald has won the All-Ireland EU Soapbox Senior Debating Competition. A native of Ahaskra, Siobhan, who represented Mount Mellick EU Direct Centre, won top prize in the over-19 section at the event in the National Concert Hall in Dublin recently. She was presented with a prize of €1,000 and will travel to Brussels to attend a session of the European Parliament. Siobhan Fitzgerald argued that the European Union is united in diversity.
I delivered the presentation through poetry, and the three main areas I looked at were the benefits of this motto, or how it's represented for education, peace and prosperity. And I did that by constantly trying to remind the audience to remember how it was before we were part of the EU and why the inception of the EU was so important in the first place.
Irish men earn 13.9% more than women here, according to new statistics from the European Commission. This compares with an EU average gap of 16.7%. The average early earnings gap between male and female is at its narrowest in Romania at 4.5%, while in Estonia the margin is 28.1%. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says Irish female employees fare better here compared to the UK.
The average pay gap in the EU is 16.7%, and we can look at our neighbours in the UK where it's 20.9%. So in spite of poor childcare systems, there's still quite a positive picture in Ireland.
An informal meeting of the European Union's foreign ministers took place in Brussels yesterday evening. The ministers discussed a wide range of issues with a particular emphasis on the change of US foreign policy under Donald Trump. The following is an extract from her departure doorstep press conference.
We had a very fruitful, good meeting with the foreign ministers and all the 28 member states on the EU-US relations. Not an extraordinary meeting, simply an informal dinner before we start tomorrow morning early with our own formal agenda. I can say there is unity among all the 28 on the need, first of all, to continue working on the strength of the transatlantic relation. The European Union and the United States are partners and will continue to be partners for what concerns us in the European Union, based on our own values, principles, interests. Also, we discussed the need to strengthen the European unity around some key issues that will be even more crucial in the months to come. First of all, the need to work on the multilateral system. For us, it's extremely important to work on the climate change agreement implementation, but also on non-proliferation and the protection of the Iranian nuclear deal, but also on trade. And all the crises we have around us, on which during these last 8 years we worked very well together with the United States, and we are looking forward to a very strong partnership with the next administration. We've decided together to engage with the incoming administration even from this very first weeks of transition. Obviously, we will continue to work day and night with the current administration, but also preparing the ground for the change in administration from January. And obviously I will be glad to not only visit Washington soon, but also invite the future Secretary of State to one of our next Foreign Affairs Council. As I said, unity, consensus around the table on the need to develop these two tracks, investing in the EU-US strong partnership, protecting and preserving it, but also strengthening the European policies and actions in an independent manner, based on our consolidated policies and positions. And as you know very well, tomorrow with the foreign and also defense ministers, we will be deciding on security and defense from the European perspective in cooperation with NATO. This is obviously one thing that was on the table before the US elections and has even more reasons to stay on our table today. All 28 member states were represented around the table. A couple of ministers were not present. One or two could not make it for agenda reasons. For instance, the French minister, Jean-Marc Ayrault, called me this morning to excuse his absence. He's receiving Guterres early tomorrow morning in Paris. And obviously, this is also a very important thing to do now from the European perspective, to guarantee that the EU-UN relationship, partnership, common work is even intensified. So we agreed that it was much better for him to stay in Paris and meet the future Secretary General of the United Nations. So ministers were all there. A couple of ministers were not coming for political reasons. One in particular, you know that well. But I can also share with you that some ministers were, not some ministers, but some in Europe are surprised not when that country is absent, but nowadays that is his presence around the table of the 28. So I guess it's only normal for a country that has decided to leave the European Union not to be so interested in our discussion on the future of our relations with the United States.
Hey, Jeff, turn on. Nie idź do talent show. spróbuj się powstrzymać. Już dzwonią, już chcą, spróbuj to wytrzymać. To podniecenie w tle niezdrowe jest dla ducha. Świat cię podsłuchuje, a nikt nie chce słuchać, jak te piosenki. Tyle szczęścia nie życzył ci nigdy nikt. Blogi i psychotesty, plotki, memy, neony, a ona mówi mi: nie martw się o mnie, o nie. Ja zatrzymuję czas, wstrzymuję czas, wstrzymuję czas, wstrzymuję czas, wstrzymuję to męczące. Ciągle myśleć o tym, jak żyć, w ciągłym strachu przed trwałym brakiem sławy tkwić. Muszę odpocząć od możliwości, okazji, szans, od swojego potencjału. Może mogę to przeczekać, dotrzeć do źródła. Musi je zatrzymać czas.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Last week, tens of thousands of people took to the streets of Warsaw on the country's Independence Day, with military ceremonies taking place alongside anti-democracy activists and far-right nationalists. While some of Friday's events were sanctioned by the government, including Polish President Andrzej Duda leading ceremonies in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, others were fueled more by political motives than remembrance or tradition. Rival marches took place in Warsaw, including an independence march organised by Polish nationalists under the slogan "Poland, the Bastion of Europe." Meanwhile, a march organised by the Committee for the Defence of Democracy, an organisation created last year to fight the centralisation of power by Poland's right-wing government, took place on a different route. The committee has held a string of anti-government protests over the last year. A third march was organised by the Anti-Fascist Coalition and included members of the left-wing Razem Party. To find out a little bit more about the background to these current events in Poland, Europe Today spoke to Dublin resident Marta Stokwoza from Katowice in Poland. Marta, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Marta, can you give us a little bit of background information on this whole Independence Day and some of the problems that it seems to have caused in Poland?
On Friday, on the 11th of November, it was our Independence Day. First of all, it's the
the day that officially the First World War finished.
Right.
But at the same time, it was the day when German army left Warsaw, and therefore it's celebrated as our Independence Day. Yearly, to celebrate the day, there are different marches, celebration marches. In the past years, there were clashes between the people taking part in different marches. This year, the biggest marches were organized in Warsaw.
Right.
And one of them was organized by groups called Młodzież Wszechpolska and Obóz Narodowo Radykalny. It would be all Polish youth or and National Radical Camp in English. They're organizations that were created in 1920s and then banned in 1930s because of their nationalistic doctrines.
Okay.
However, they revived in late 1980s and they became quite strong in the last few years. They seem to enjoy the support from the current government in Poland and the Law and Justice governing party. The other march was organized by Komitet Obrony Demokracji, which is the Committee for Defense of Democracy.
Right.
And that's a group that was created in or a group or a civic organization that was created in 2015. It was actually created in response to Polish constitutional crisis. I don't know if you've heard about it. It was when the government created by Law and Justice Party wanted to replace the judges of Polish constitutional court, basically appointing the people who were their supporters.
But if there has been traditionally clashes between people on the march on Independence Day and the Democratic Party, for want of a better word, was only formed in 2015, were there previous clashes before 2015, or is this only a new development now on Independence Day that there's the two rival marches, or what way did that work?
I don't know if could say that were like rival marches. They were just different people.
Right, okay,
marches organized by people with, you know. But there
had been clashes traditionally over the years, was there?
There were
No, there was no clash this year. We have to emphasize there was no clashes this year.
There was no clash this year, and as the leader.
But that was that mainly down to the fact that the police kept a cordon between the two marches?
Definitely the police had to do some
had
a job to do
there. If the police presence hadn't been there, do you think there might have been a clash?
At least this year it didn't really look like both marches were relatively peaceful and definitely the pro-democratic one was peaceful. The other, the more like nationalistic, the demonstration, there were some issues with using the flares or bangers, so there were some safety issues, but you know there were no fights between the people.
Right.
In the past, the clashes were mostly between those nationalistic groups and more like kind of anti-fascist organizations.
And the name of the Nationalist Party again, what is that name again?
Obóz Narodowo Radykalny in Polish, and the other one is All Polish Youth.
Okay, and are they perceived as fascist organizations?
They say nationalist rather than fascist, but the slogans, for example, the slogans they were carrying on like last Friday were
this is the nationalist section
were like bad to the enemies of the fatherland, God honor fatherland, or we don't want Muslims here, we don't want the Ukrainians here.
Right,
okay. So, you know, you can make up your own opinion.
Okay. Yeah. So again, we have to stress that this year, 2016, it did pass off peacefully. Is there concerns in Poland with the, we're seeing in Hungary and France and in England, and we're seeing a movement, an extreme right nationalist movement sort of rising. Is that something that's happening in Poland, do you think?
Definitely.
And it's definitely a concern.
Since 2015,
the
Law and Justice Party came to power.
Right, okay.
There is the same.
And just tipping on, touching on the Ukrainian aspect of it, has there been a lot of movement from Ukraine, the people who were affected by the war in Ukraine, into Poland? Is this, do you think?
According to this nationalist leaders, there's like millions of Ukrainians in Poland now, okay. Which I...
Since the war?
Since the war, but... Oh, right, okay. But to be honest, I really don't believe in this figure.
Okay, well, that's even stuff like that is a little bit sinister, isn't it? When they start to use extreme figures to generate sort of panic and xenophobia. Among the Polish community, among you and your friends and things like that that are based here in Dublin, is this something that comes up in conversation from time to time, or is it just something that people are not really overly concerned about?
Personally, I haven't spoken to anybody about it yet, but looking at my friends, at least like, for example, Facebook friends, posts and opinions posted on Facebook, I can see that some people...
They're aware of it anyway.
They're aware concerned. And they're kind of have or express quite strong beliefs and always corresponding with my
So sometimes these issues they do tend to throw people in a different light.
Exactly, but that's why I try not to talk about like politics with my friends or.
Well, sometimes you have to talk about these things. Okay, Martha, you've been very good to take the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And yes, indeed, maybe this time next year we'll be having a different conversation.
Fingers crossed. Thank you, John.
Nikt się nigdy we mnie nie zakochał. Piłka zawsze po tej stronie kortu. Zapytaj mnie, w czym jestem dobra. Ogarniam, zazwyczaj ogarniam. Można polegać, można wymagać. Zdążę na czas i znam swoje miejsce. Wiele mam zalet, ale odwaga nie jest jedną.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Marta Stokwoza from Katowice in Poland for her contribution to this week's programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. And of course, you can get in contact with us through Twitter as well. Don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to the various items that we spoke about as well, and the music, of course. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.